Now, the rest of the story. George Francis Train was one of America's most extraordinary eccentrics. From humble beginnings, he amassed a fortune, created a shipping fleet, and a transcontinental railway. Despite his wealth, he lived on a self-imposed budget of $3 a week. He published a magazine. He campaigned to become the first United States dictator. He promoted a new calendar that began with his birthday. He gave rambling, bombastic, incoherent lectures that attracted crowds for their sheer dramatic sweep. He ate peanuts and practically nothing else, ever. He wrote letters to his friends while the intended recipients stood there and watched him write. He greeted acquaintances on the street by shaking hands with himself. In fact, George Francis Train was once certified insane. Yet it's for none of these things that posterity remembers him. The one lasting eccentricity he inspired, well, that is the rest of the story. When George Train stepped off the ship in Marseille, France, October 1870, the country was tumbling down around him. The Second Empire of Napoleon III had been defeated. Two groups, the Third Republic and the Communards, competed for the leftovers. It was the latter, the Communards, with which George Train's sympathies lay. He longed to see France and the rest of the world become a system of communes erected on the ruins of all national governments. And so, the visiting American eagerly cast himself into the inferno of French politics. He offered his flamboyant services to the Communards, and they quickly accepted. They appealed to the rich man's ego, calling him liberator, beseeching him to address the masses. Of course, nothing delighted Train more than the pretense of heroism, nor the prospect of an audience, and so it began. And over the 23 days that followed, 23 days, Blowhard George gave 7 rousing orations every day. But before the sea of sycophants tired of him, the Third Republic jailed him for 2 weeks and then politely escorted him out of the country. And thus ended what Train himself would always remember as his greatest adventure, his attempt to overthrow the French government. Yet even that was soon forgot. For what George Train means to you involves the journey that brought him to France in the first place. The same journey that ended in the United States where it had begun. George had intended his round-the-world trip to be highly publicized and record-shattering. And so, when he returned to America and boasted to reporters how little time his trip had taken, his words were published in newspapers everywhere. And in one newspaper in particular, and it was a newspaper that was read over breakfast by a French author named Jules Verne. For more than 100 years, readers and armchair adventurers, eventually moviegoers, have thrilled to the exploits of a daring fictional traveler named Phileas Fogg as he dashed around the world in 80 days. Well, now you know there really was a Phileas Fogg. Now you know his real name, for you've met the author's real-life inspiration. You know the rest of the story.